you, thank you. I'm gonna pin this on here. You couldn't see it online, or those listening, you know, on Spotify or wherever. But Pastor Earl just put his hand on my head and goes, "Bless you." Yeah. Oh, thank you, thank you. All right, y'all, we are in a new season that we're stepping into as a church family. As a church, but I feel like also so many individuals personally are stepping into new seasons, right? And I feel like I've been praying in very different prayers recently. I feel like I've been fasting in a very different way, expecting for God to move. And as we were going into this new season, I was reading through Joshua, 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 Joshua. It's like Moses is dead. Joshua is now leading Israel. Like, let's go. Like, let's take the territory. And now we're in the territory. So now I've went from Joshua into Judges. Okay. And, you know, the script kind of changes when it gets to Judges, you know, like it becomes a very emotional maybe journey that they step into, the nation of Israel. But also it's like these highs, lows, highs, lows, highs, lows. And I want to pick on these verses right here that aren't like the most exciting verses of all. But I think we can learn some things as we step into this new season, whether maybe you're just getting married like Lucas and Amanda did, or as we're stepping into this new family as a church in the new space here in Dallas. Okay, Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hills of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, the whole generation had gathered together to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Wow. A whole generation. This has been like challenging me. Because, man, I don't want that. You know, like that's not what this is about, right? Like, no, this is like, I want the baseline of where we're at right now to be what the next generation is stepping into. And but Israel, as they moved into this new season and now they walked into the promised land, you have to live different, right? They were used to living kind of like as nomads and kind of just wandering around. Like that's what they were used to. Now they move into this new territory. Now you have to figure out how to like plant food and grow food and process food because you're no longer living on manna. There's like all of these changes that happen for the nation of Israel. But I think they got stuck on the season that they were in and forgot to dream about the future. And I found myself the very first Sunday that we had in this new space, we were singing Worthy of It All. Rachel was leading us in Worthy of It All. Where's Rachel at? And it was like just holy. And it's like the lights, everything was yellow. And I'm just like on my knees in a rare moment, like crying. And I had to like stop myself because starting to sob, you know, like, you know, shaking, you know, that's whenever it's like you see people's shoulders shaking, they're either crying or laughing, okay? And I was like in this moment of crying, I'm like, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be in a space like this. I don't deserve to be in a church like this. I don't deserve to be in a marriage like that, like I have. I don't deserve to have the boys. You know, they're awesome. They're the best. God, you've been so kind. Yeah. And there was like this overwhelming right of worship and gratitude. But I don't think it can stop there. Because I think if you just stop at gratitude with a mixture of humility, I think if you stop there, I think you miss out on who God is. Because it's now paused in the moment. And I feel like what we need to have is we need to have gratitude mixed with the humility of I don't deserve this, but a high expectation of God, I still need you to do something great. There has to be all of these things happening at the same time. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for what you've done and where I'm at and where everything is right now. I'm so grateful. But God, do more. And this is where I think worship actually really begins to happen. Because you're placing expectation not on a sense of like, oh, God, you haven't done enough for me. I need you to do more for me. You're placing this sense of expectation because you're saying, God, I know your potential to do what you can do is actually way greater than what you've currently done. So, God, I'm placing expectation on you, not because I'm ungrateful, because I know your potential. And I just felt myself being like, God, do not let me put a cap on the potential of what you can do in my life and in this church family's life. I don't want to get stuck just in the gratitude. I don't want to get stuck in the humility and be like, Lord, you don't ever have to do another thing for me. God, stop moving. I don't need more territory. I don't need you to teach me one more thing. I don't want to get stuck in the humility either, because you miss out on what God has for you. I think this is the character of God. This is how we don't get stuck in the one generation knows what God has done and the next generation doesn't know. I'd been challenged with this, because a lot of times churches will step into a new season where it's like, okay, you've stepped into this building, specifically with churches, it like happens when you step into a new building, and then you kind of just stop dreaming because now you maintain the current territory. All your work now goes into maintaining this. We got to figure out parking. We got to figure out this. We got to figure out that. And you like pause. But that's not the character of God. It's the same thing whenever you own your own business, okay? My family, we grew up and we ran a golf course, okay? And it was like, okay, we was like all this like pushing. And we were like pushing to build the golf course, and we like built this golf course. And then it was like, that was just it. Now just everything was focused on maintaining the golf course. And that was it. Or it's like, okay, I'm about to get married. And it's like all this planning and dreaming for the wedding. And what is it going to look like to get married? And you get married and people can think, oh, that's it. I'm married. Wow. And I'm telling y'all, that's actually just the beginning. For anybody who's been married for just a little bit, you know, the ceremony is like, that's the easy part. Okay. It's like, now it's like, you got to dream and you need to work and you need to build, because there's going to be houses to come. There's more territory to come. There's going to be kids on the other side of it. Like, you have to now build. So don't get stuck in gratitude or to get stuck in the humility, but still continue to believe God, have a high sense of expectation on what God is going to do. The second thing that I think we can learn from this. This is a new word that I learned just a couple nights ago. Okay, I had dinner with some people, and Eddie Sands. I was talking to Eddie Sands, and he's a very interesting guy. Okay, like he would like teach you how to age in reverse. Okay, like he can like is insane. And we were talking about something. He's like, oh yeah, that's hormesis. Has anybody ever heard the word hormesis? Exactly. I was like, Eddie, stop flexing on us, okay, with all these words we don't know. Hormesis, okay, hormesis is, this is where you essentially put your body through short bursts of stress to grow.
Oh, wow.
To live longer, to live better. This is a great reminder to get out of your comfort zone, hormesis. Whoa. I think that's what actually Israel kind of got stuck in.
Wow.
They stopped striving to go forward. They stopped putting their body, their mind, and their faith through stress tests because they got stuck in it. And when it says like from one generation to the next generation, I, you know, as a parent, you know, like you don't want your kids to have to go through something difficult, right? You don't want them to. But I've learned it's the difficulties that has actually shaped me, right? I heard T.D. Jakes say it one time. He was like, you want your children to grow up to know God as their Savior and to know Jesus as their Savior, but you never want your children to need to be saved. And I think this promised land living can get you stuck in this where I'm like, oh, let me shelter my kids and the next generation from the fight. But it's actually the fight that really makes you who you are. Like, and so like, as we're like stepping into this next season, let's dream bigger and let's put some of the weight on the next generation. Like, let's raise them up to be like fighting for generational curses. Cause like, I feel like I've broken some generational curses. Well, the Lord has like led me to break some generational curses, but I know there's going to be some things that like, hey, my kids are still going to have these same fights. And they're going to still have to learn what it looks like to not get caught up in alcoholism. And they're still going to have to learn what it looks like to not get caught up in pornography. And they're still going to look like to know what it looks like to not get caught up in like a poverty mindset. They're going to have to fight for things, those things too. I need to lead them through that, not shelter them from that. So church family, I feel like as we're like stepping into this new season, I want us to make sure that we're pulling in leaders. And we're raising up leaders, and we're not sheltering them from the fight. We're giving them exposure to like bursts of stress so they can grow for their overall health. It's actually that exposure to stress that keeps you going in the long term. It's what actually keeps you strong. Now, I have, for sake of time, I'm gonna end it there, but I feel like our church family, the best days are ahead. And it better not just be this generation. It better be the next generation and then the next generation. I'm telling you, we just had SMU. We just had Youth Night at SMU. I'm praying for the day we like fill stadiums up with our Youth Night, because it's gonna happen. We're gonna push towards it. So God, I just pray for this church family. I pray for our serve team listening. God, I pray that these principles would not just be for the church, but God, I also pray that it would be for our personal households. Lord, would you continue to help us have a high level of gratitude and humility, but an even higher level of expectation. God, for you to move, but not just in this generation, but in also the generations to come. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love y'all so much.